Isaac's going back to class? Ask a lot of questions, Isaac. Psalm 100 today, and maybe 101. We'll see. Two short psalms, but a lot of stuff in there. Good stuff from God. Psalm 100 is titled A Psalm of Praise. I would subtitle it under God's title here, Judgment Unto Serving. Psalm 101 being Judgment Unto Righteousness, Right Living. So with these past few psalms, we've been talking about judgment. We've got a beautiful judge. We call him God. He's created us. He's created everything around us. And he's a beautiful judge. He judges rightly. Judges perfectly. Our judgment is imperfect. It was born of sin. A choice to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We became judges. Corrupt judges. So our duty here is to proclaim the gospel that there is a beautiful judge. We're to surrender our lives to that beautiful judge and find abundant life in doing so. Psalm 100 is another one of these psalms that speak about this judgment, this beautiful judge who is God. The previous psalm, Psalm 99, was judgment unto wisdom. Judgment unto wisdom, this beautiful judge, by having a relationship with him, we are brought into this place of not just knowledge, but wisdom. Psalm 98, just going back a little bit, judgment unto worship. Judgment unto worship, this beautiful judge and the decisions that he makes are right, they're true, it's right on. There's a beauty about the things that he does, the things he decides to do in our lives. Even the testimonies that were shared this morning, God decided to move on an individual. God decided to do something. God made a judgment. And it's beautiful. It brings us into a place of worship and thanksgiving. You heard that happen. So today in Psalm 100, this beautiful judge, who is absolutely morally perfect, brings us into a place of serving. Judgment unto serving. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Kristen read, come before his presence or come into his gates with shouting. That was one of the ones she shared there from Psalm 95. To shout joyfully. But here we see to sing. Use your voice, I think, is the bottom line. Don't be afraid. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Since he made us, and we are his sheep, his possession, and since this is his gates, his earth, his lands, it's rightful that we would be giving thanks to him and blessing his name, as verse 4 says. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So we see here in verse 2, the summation of this that I'm going to bring out from the context of this is that the Lord is good. The things that he does are right and true. Out of that is resourced our serving of him. We don't serve him in order for him to do something good. He already is good. That's the source that drives our serving. You're going to serve at VBS today or this week coming up. That resource, that strength to serve comes because God has been good to your life. Mm-hmm. God has been good to you. It's not for you to earn his goodness. Right. There isn't a prize at the end of the rainbow once you did one, two, three, four. It's because of his goodness, because of his blessings, because of his promises that are already assured because of the blood that was shed on the cross, that we serve him. Judgment unto serving. God judged the world, and he said that all have fallen short of the glory of God. And in that judgment, what did he do? He sent his son. He sent his son to die for us. That was his judgment. That was his discernment of how to deal with the situation. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, is there any other way? What are they doing? They're making a judgment. The Father and Son. Take this cup from me. But nevertheless, your will be done. Submission going on. Discernment. Judgment happening. The sin of me. The sin of you. Being looked at. And what needs to be done. Beautiful judge. This judgment causes me to serve. It causes me to serve. It's the wind in my sail to serve him. There's all sorts of encouragement going on, especially recently in the Psalms. The shouting that Kristen read about is just part of it here. In Psalm 97, we're told to love those that love the Lord. So that's part of our existence down here on the earth, is loving this God that created us. Psalm 100, verse 3, and the one we're in today, is to know this Lord. Know that he is Lord and that he did create us. It seems simple, and it seems that somebody read something about simplicity, Terry did. It's kind of like we have to re-educate people on this matter because of the things that are going on out there. The fools are out in the campuses around us saying that there is no one that made you. You're an accident. You're a bunch of atoms that have gotten together by chance and selection and different things, and here you are. And by the way, for a billion years from now, everything's going to turn into nothing again. And it's absolutely meaningless. What do you want to do when you go to college, by the way? Yeah. What is that? It's folly. It's foolish. And so here we are. It seems crazy, but we have to actually address this. But it's not out of the bounds of Scripture that these fools are around us, because they were during the time. It's addressed even in the Psalms. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we know that takes place. This psalm is addressing that. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Right from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and earth. Right to the last verse in Revelation, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come. The one that created, all things were created through him. Lord Jesus, come. Grace and peace be to all of you. That's how it ends. Know that he is the Lord, and that he created us, and that we are the sheep of his pasture. So we're encouraged to know him, and in the same psalm, to serve him, to serve the Lord. Different ideas conjure up in your head about serving the Lord. Singing to the Lord, Psalm 98 and various ones, a very common one is to sing to the Lord. Psalm 97 talked about rejoicing before the Lord, having joy. Psalm 96, give unto the Lord. Give glory unto the Lord where it's due. Give an offering. Give. That's the nature of God, for he gave his son. When that nature gets put in us, what happens? We turn from the taking and hoarding, and that self-absorption, to one that wants to give. That's the nature of God in you working out, by the way. It's him that's in you to will and do his good pleasure. And part of that will is to give. It's to give. That's the nature of God. It's okay to give. You're expressing the nature of God. A story my sister shared yesterday. We're gathered around our aunt, who's got the news from the doctors that there's nothing else we can do, and now she's visiting families. She's able to, at least, to get around a little bit and do that boldly. So, and she was down in Elmira, that's where I was yesterday, and we're all sharing different stories. And one of the ones my sister talked about was when she took me on a trip. This was back when you could do this. She was, I don't know, maybe 16 and I was 11 or something like that. And or 15 and 10, it was just something you wouldn't do these days, typically send your daughter and younger son off to Buffalo on a bus. She was recounting that story and how I lost my wallet in the bus station and I came back and it was still there. She says it probably wouldn't happen today, you know. And she talked about recently when she was in a bus station, and it's like things have changed a lot, just going in a bus station and observing the people in there. She was waiting in the bus station. She was waiting for this young man to show up, that she was she needed to minister. She's a nurse. She's a county nurse. She visits a lot of people. She gets sent out to homes and situations that where a nurse is needed. Sometimes you might have needed one, a nurse to come out. So she's one of those. So she was waiting for this boy to come to the bus station and waiting, and the time went by that he was due to be there. And she has three packages for him, three lunches that she packed for him. I'm probably getting the story a little mixed up, but in the delay of him not, I don't think he even showed this young man. It wasn't a boy, it was a young man. She was able to see a great need out there, what she described as a young girl that looked like the poster child for sex trafficking. She was able to go and give that lunch to and express the love of God. And she saw the depravity and the need of a young lady there who's been cheated and robbed. And she was able to bring some of her robing around her and surround her with that love. And she saw an older man who looked sad, who was also in the bus station. And just the opportunities started coming where these three lunches started to multiply. Jesus said, greater you will do. You will do greater things. And I don't think that is necessarily greater than walking on the water. We would instead, you know, I'd walk on my hands on the water. And you know, that's a greater thing than Jesus did. He used his feet. I don't think it's that. I think it's exactly what was being shared yesterday. The multiplying of fishes and loaves, I don't think it's like, oh, I'm going to multiply filet mignon. That's going to be greater than what Jesus did. No, I think it's what she did. I think it's what she did. Out of the overflow of her heart, the God was expressed and something was being shared. The robes that she was wearing, the righteousness of Christ around her, surrounded some other people that were in great need. And that lifted them up and raised them up in the graces of God. Come on in. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to have to sit down here. God, you are good. We're thankful for you. Giving. These Psalms are encouraging us in many ways. What's it like to be a Christian? A German exchange student asked us one day at our house at one of the youth group events. What is it like to be Christian? It's to love. It's to love God, to love other. It's to know the Lord, the one that created you, that you're a sheep of his pasture. You're his prized possession. It's to serve him, not to earn things. It's to serve him because he's so wonderful and he's fueling that service and his love for you. And he's even gone before you and prepared things for you to do. That's cool to think about. And in one of my breaks, I walk around the Boyle Center down in Auburn, or I'll walk around the post office. I took a different route this, I think it was Friday morning this past week. And just took a different route, and I ran into a couple there that have been going through a lot of different things. And God had prepared me already ahead of time with what to say. It was already in my heart, was welling over. And that simply was that God is good. It was simply verse 5 here, that the Lord is good. And I talked about it a little bit last Sunday, and the craziness of stuff and all the stuff you see on the news, it's like, oof, you know, the stuff going on. God is good. It's being declared here, and it's true. God is good. And so I went up to that couple, and it's immediately what flowed out of my mouth. I want to just tell you that God is good. Hey, how you doing? I ran across the street. I want to tell you that God is good. A lot of stuff is going on right now in your lives and everything around you. I want to tell you that God is good. Get back to that and hold on to that. And
few other things were said, and as I'm walking away, the guy said, come back here, come back here. And he said, did you know that the wife just last night dreamed that you were speaking to her, and she woke up and she couldn't remember what it was. And she texted Gretchen and said, I had this dream that Paul said something, and I don't remember what it was. It was that same day. The same day, that morning, I met them. It was just this past week. God goes before us. I didn't even know where I was walking. Am I going to walk around the Boyle Center? Am I going to go around the post office on my little 15-minute break? You know, it's just like, he's already working in my heart. He's already prepared a situation. It's like, Paul, here you are. I've given you the words. Simply yield to that. That's what faith is all about. It's a special word called yielding, letting. This powerful God of the universe that's, he's decided to dwell in this and call it his temple, to allow him out, to shout, as Kristen said, to sing to him, to give thanksgiving, to love your neighbor, to know this Lord, to sing to him, rejoicing, giving, to be, to simply be. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's something you're already bringing with you. It's a situation. It's a place you're already in of thanksgiving. I'm not going to leave this room of thanksgiving. You can think of it that way. It's kind of like a place. It's a state of being. Enter his courts with this state, this position you're in, this attitude of thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Be thankful. A state of being. Well, I don't feel thankful. There's a solution for that. Die. There's a provision called the cross where we're invited to lay our lives down each and every day to deny ourselves and to walk with him. There's power in the cross to bring us out of this doldrum of self-absorption and self-pity into a place of thanksgiving and thankfulness. The state of being that's been established, it was in a song I heard when we were sitting down before we started this morning. Oh, it was already starting. It said, a rock higher than I. We all know that Jesus gives us foundation to stand on. We're to stand on this solid ground, right? Wait a minute, it's a rock that's higher than me. All have fallen short of the glory of God. How do I get up to this high rock? How do I even have this foundation of my life of being thankful and all these grateful things? I need to die and be raised up to this rock. I am buried with him. This is what baptism is. We're going to be talking about that leading up to Sunday the 25th. We're going to have baptism on that Sunday. It might be at Camp Gregory, to be announced. Things are a little bit fluid now, so please be patient with that. But it's important that we do the baptism. It's going to be on that Sunday, so that's one thing I know for sure. Sunday the 25th will be baptism in the afternoon. Okay, so more details coming up from that. But we die with him, and we're raised up to that rock. To that rock, who is Christ. We're raised up to that rock. It's exciting to be baptized. It's exciting to see people baptized, to enter into that orientation of new life. Behold, all things are become new. When I saw a relative yesterday, they said, what's new? I said, well, his mercies are new. We're a new creature. Heaven and earth are going to be new. Yeah. You know, there's a new song he's put in my heart. He's a God of the new. Paul, what really is new? Psalm 98 has encouraged us to be makers, creators of new things, new songs. Bring a new song. Isn't that wonderful that God can provide the resources again, just like with serving? He can breathe a testimony in your life, just like we talked about with that movie recently. I can only imagine. God provided the resource of the testimony, and the new song would flow out of that.
He's called us to enter into that place of making new, inventing new things. Scientists get, the atheistic scientists get scared because of religious believers, like, well, they're not going to invent anything new. That's foolish. That's dumb. And I have the permission of the Bible to say that, because God says that's stupid, that's dumb. And that's the only time I use those terms, is when people get afraid of exalting God, that it will somehow inhibit us from growing forward. Because the invention of the MRI, a believer, the invention of the sonogram, to see that little tiny life inside the womb, came from a believer to reveal that. And it's used in that capacity in a great way today. And many other inventions, Isaac Newton with the eye, and how he said how it declares the glory of God, one of my favorite topics, and I'm not going to go there too far today. But he's called us to be makers of new things. He's called us to enter into creativity, to make new. Make a new song. Make this piece of wood into a worship instrument. Make these strings into a guitar. Make worship. Make beautiful music. This is part of making. These are the things that would answer that Christian, that German girl who came over and said, what is it like to be Christian? We make new things. We make things that worship the Lord and encourage people and that show and express the love and testimony. We're in a state of being all the time, of thanksgiving. And in fact, if we're not there, he's given us a way to get there by dying and being raised with him. We're givers. And that is historically true. This nation has been the most giving nation of all. And Christians in particular, great, great givers. It's a trademark of God himself that's imprinted on his church. Singing unto the Lord, serving him, knowing him, and loving. Trembling. The awestruck fear of God in his presence. I had to sit down because of that today. That's good. That's healthy. That's awesome. Kneeling before the Lord, bowing down. These are things we see in the Psalms. Psalm 99, Psalm 96 in particular. Exalting God. All of this. I'm just kind of taking a Selah here and looking at all of these things that we're encouraged to be and to do. But remember, our doing is always because there was a done. The done is before the do. The serving comes after the salvation. Some of the connections, this kind of confirms, I wasn't sure if I was going to go in this area with Psalm 100, but some of the things that were shared from Terry, from Asher, what the Lord's been speaking this morning, I see confirmation to talk about this today. And it's a little bit about our country, our government, and some of the situations we find ourselves in today. The Declaration of Independence. Notice here in Psalm 100 it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Great positive thing. Serve the Lord and know the Lord, that he's made us. The Declaration of Independence, that is a document that declares the heart of our country, declares that there is a God of nature. There's a nature and a God of nature. Specifically declares that. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and that he made us. It also declares that God is good. This declaration says this God has given us certain unalienable rights. That means you have rights that are given from God. That he's a good God that's given us rights. Of these, it talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Part of the rights that were endowed from a creator, our declaration talks about. Psalm 100 is a very important, little tiny, powerful seed that our nation needs to sit upon right now and needs to cook on. We need to share. and be active in. Let's look at this life. Let's look at this liberty. Let's look at this pursuit of happiness as expressed in John chapter 10. We'll bounce around a little bit and look at some of these things. Anywhere in our country that has proclaimed that there is no God is not American. It is not part of our country. It is not part of the declaration that has been put forth. We need to understand that. That is an important part of the declaration. Do we kick people out? No, we just don't allow. We don't allow that rule to be what pervades in our country. Eisenhower would finally come to that conclusion. This is what sets us apart from all the rest of the earth. In God we trust. In God we trust. John chapter 10, verse 10. Having to do with life. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So I am speaking from this God who's created us, has endowed us with rights to have life, and I'm speaking his very words here. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. We have an enemy, in other words. We have men and women who've laid their lives down, protect the freedoms that we have in this country for this very reason, that we have an enemy that has come to kill, destroy, and to steal. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from the God that created nature. And the God that created nature. There is a God. And here he is speaking that he's come to give life. Well, what is that life? John 14, just go a few chapters. John 14, 6. Oh my. What a bold declaration. It's behind me on the window as well. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Life is birthed out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship with Jesus Christ. What's the solution? Inviting people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What's the solution to this, that, and the other thing that's going on? Inviting people into relationship with Jesus Christ. The gospel, the Great Commission. It hasn't changed. That life book that we have, that we still have hundreds and hundreds of, that we like to give out. The guy that promotes that, he gives it just 100% free. I don't know how he came to be that. It's another testimony. But just gives out millions of these things. And it's the book of John, and it might be another book that he's done recently. But John is the one we have. He recently put out an email just this past week in response to the shootings, he says. Go preach the gospel. Don't get tired of the gospel. The answer is the gospel. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is the gospel. Go preach the gospel. God is good. In the gospel, we find God's goodness. Life, liberty. John 8, verse 36. Go back a little bit to the left. Speaking of liberty. John 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, what is freedom? Romans 6, to the right. Past Acts and you're into Romans. Romans 6, the famous baptism chapter. And we're kind of coming full circle back to that place of getting lifted up to this place, being set on a rock. That rock is a place of liberty. You will never be any more free in your life than when you're standing on that rock that God has provided called Jesus Christ. How do I get there? you die with him. You're entangled in his death. You don't put it to death. You're entangled in his death. You don't have the power to put sin to death. He's provided the power. Don't you dare try to put something to death on your own power. You entangle with a greater power, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and be raised with him. You're a new creature. Behold, all things become new. What has happened in this new creature? He's standing on a rock that was higher than him or her. Behold, all things are new. You're on a new plateau. You're in a new perspective. Life is new. Man, everything looks great up here. I have a new perspective. I got heaven in mind in the future. Romans 6 telling us what liberty is. I already gave it away. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There's one that comes to steal and destroy, and that would have us bound up in sin. Subtly so. Subtly so. Even coming as an angel in light and calling things love when they are not. They're deception. They're traps. It's emptiness. It has the appearance of fruit, and inside there's death. His appearance of sweetness inside, there's no seed that produces eternity. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? Church, you are dead to sin. Live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? That means you enter into it. A cucumber entering into the vinegar and the solution becomes a pickle. You enter into it. You enter into his death. You are transformed and changed by the power of the cross. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. There's that great word, new. New life. New perspective. Freedom produces that. Liberty is to have this new life and have it protect and preserve. The job of government God would raise up is to preserve this liberty, to preserve this life that has been guaranteed on the cross and delivered by Jesus Christ. To fight against those that would come against it and try to steal it away, knowing that there is enemies to this. We've been planted, verse 5, together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You are walking around with the death of Christ, its great fragrance, and the life of Christ, just proceeding out the light of Christ. That's the reality of a Christian. The pursuit of happiness, the last one. John 15, back to John, to the left, to the left, to the left. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The words of God that are spoken to us have a purpose, that our joy would be full, and that his joy would be in us. This is the God that created you. Listen to this word that he's speaking to you. I want my joy to be in you, and I want your joy to be full. In 1 John, I'll turn there real quick and read it to you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. These things I write unto you, again, the words of God, that your joy may be half full. That your joy may be full. Jesus talks about a torrent coming over and just pouring out. That's what he wants us to be. Isn't this cool? This God that created us and he calls us his sheep and he wants us to come into his gates with what? Thanksgiving and a new song. Isn't this awesome? I think I could serve this Lord. I think I could even die for him. The pursuit of happiness finally lands in Matthew chapter 5, where the guys have been for at least 3.5 months. For a while, a couple of weeks anyway, 3 weeks I think. Matthew chapter 5. Psalm 100 talks about the Lord being good. He's the Lord, He made us, and He is good. We have rights. You have rights, and they're to be protected by government, all of these rights, because there is right. What's the sense of having rights if there is no right? What's the sense of having restrictions, was the word, if there's no wrongs? Restrictions coming from laws, you can't do this kind of thing. Or rights, you can do this, you have rights for this. What does all that come from if there isn't a right and a wrong? Here we see in Psalm 100 that this Lord, He is good. He is morally right. He's a beautiful judge, what we've been focusing on. This right to have a pursuit of happiness is resourced in a morally right God who declares things as right and wrong. We bit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what's right and wrong, and we've been struggling with it ever since. That belongs to Him, by the way, that tree. I'm glad to give that back to Him and step off of that throne and yield my life to Him as judge, as Lord. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus will introduce every thought here with happy are you, blessed are you. An inexpressible, what is that, Mark? You can't explain it. A joy, a happiness that's inside that you don't know where it comes from. So once again, gentlemen, we'll include the ladies now. Matthew chapter 5, seeing the multitudes, He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy, inexplainable inner joy, euphoria. There's an ice cream by Ben and Jerry's now called Euphoria. Got something better here, though. Blessed are the poor, happy, inexplicable joy. The carton of ice cream will go away. This joy continues. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus is going to nail happiness right on the head. Boom, 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 boom. Pursue this. Raise up a government and have leaders that protect this pursuit. The humility that we have, the poorness of spirit, the poverty of spirit, not exalting ourselves over other people, declaring equality is a poorness in spirit, a poverty, not seeing another shade of color and calling that lesser or greater or whatever. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Equality comes out of that. In fact, even greater things, esteeming others higher and watching the grace of God flow through that. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn over the death, the stealing that goes on, that stand up, want to protect the innocent. They mourn over these things. It's not like, well, c'est la vie, whatever goes. No, there is cause to stand for these things. There's a mourning that goes on that we carry. All the time, not losing this inexplicable joy that we have. How can you explain it? We'll just taste and see that the Lord is good. Receive Him and you'll know what this is talking about. That we can mourn at the same time, have inexplicable joy. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Humility, God has characterized. Gretchen shared about the children not inhibiting them from coming to the Lord. Those such as those enter the kingdom of God. Pursue that. Pursue the meaning of that. What it means to be like a child and not losing that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those that hunger and thirst after rightness, And that's going to bridge us into the next psalm next week, Psalm 101, speaking of judgment unto righteousness. Now that stuff welling up inside of us, look at that next psalm if you want to read it ahead, and all the stuff saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. What? How did we get there? Blessed are those that hunger for that. They will be satisfied. I'm not ashamed of this gospel, folks. It's the power of salvation. It's the power that we need every day. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news. He's a good God. Lord, we lift up the concerns and cares that were expressed today. We bring the thanksgiving all together in one bouquet. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the time that we've had with you, Lord God, as a group together. But we know that we take that spirit out with us. We take that candle burning brightly out with us. That there's somebody out there today, Lord Jesus Christ, that you've prepared for us to step into their life. Lord Jesus Christ, you've ordained it so. You've given us the Great Commission. You've raised us up to be leaders. You've raised us up to be that salt and light in the world, Lord God. You've chosen us to pray even. Thank you, Lord God, for being with us today. Let's finish with a song. Amen.
Yeah.